to stay at home. In 1 minute, the ball will drop and you will see pandemonium. Listen to him. The ball is beginning to move. They can feel it. They know it. In 47 seconds, it will be 2,000. You're in Times Square with a couple of million intimate friends. 35 seconds. They're ready in 30. Get close to somebody you love. In 25 seconds, it'll be the new year. In 20 seconds. And we're going to count it down from here down when we get to 10. Are you ready? Happy New Year early. In 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy 2000!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my underground lair.
You're listening to the Generation Y podcast, covering everything from the 90s and early 2000s. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 3 of Generation Y podcast. We have the name right this time, so sorry if there was any confusion. We know we had a couple people saying that they were confused because our name changed, but we are now Generation Y podcast. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since you heard from us. We got really busy with the holidays.
Yeah, it was just too crazy to film.
Record.
Record and, podcast.
And we were going to do the Christmas one. We'll do one next year. And we actually had a pretty bad cold that, well, my, probably can hear my voice is still hoarse. A bad cold that has gone through the house and then we were all sick and stuff, so.
It's been with us for like a month.
Oh, it's horrible. It just like sticks with you. But, you know what? Whatever.
We're all good.
We're back on our weekly schedule. We're about to record an episode about, you probably guessed it from the intro.
The Y2K.
Yep, the New Year's Eve, 1999. So we're talking about the beginning of 2000 and the new millennium. And we're drinking
Doomsday.
Wine. We're drinking wine.
I already drank all my wine. It's gone.
Because it's actually New Year's Eve 2014. It's almost 2015.
Woo.
So we thought, let's talk about Y2K. Let's talk about the New Year's Eve 1999. Because I remember for me, as young guy, it was kind of cool to think about, you know, how many people can say they've been around for a new millennium.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, nobody that's alive because it's every 1,000 years. So
yeah.
It was a real cool time to be alive. It was a cool, I think it was kind of a mixture of, I think it's one of the few times in history where there's like a mixture of like excitement for the new millennium
and
plus
fear.
Like fear, not knowing what's going
to
happen.
Real quick though, before we get into everything, I wanted to give a quick shout out to the music that you hear, that 90s music in the intro. It's youtube.com/createdbybrett. So if you guys want to go there
Two-tees.
And check out his music, yes. His music is free, royalty free. You can use it for whatever you want. Just give his YouTube channel a shout out.
Cool.
But yeah. So Y2K. Did your parents prepare for the Y2K?
Oh yeah.
My grandmother. I remember my grandmother and my mother. They were feeding off of each other. Everybody would get everybody riled up and like be like, oh, the world's gonna end, or we're gonna run out of water. We need to go stock up on canned food and water, and we're gonna run out of electricity.
So. I think we can kind of tackle this in two parts. We can talk about the Y2K fears first, the issues, and then we'll put a positive spin on it by, we'll talk about what indeed did happen. And then the cool things about, you know, our generation, about being around when a new millennium was beginning, and talk about what kind of was going on at that time. And how people celebrated it and all that stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. So you're the tech guy, so why don't you explain?
Well, let's play a little clip first.
Okay.
And then I will talk about what was going on at that time, why everybody was worried.
All right.
Because if you weren't around at this time or you're real little when this happened, you probably don't understand what exactly transpired.
Is this the one from the news?
So, yeah, we're going to play two news clips today. We'll do one now, do one a little bit later.
Yeah, sounds
all right, cool. So let's play the first one.
Back on the Y2K front, despite all of the assurances that the Y2K computer problems are under control, at a cost of $100 billion in this country, a lot of Americans nonetheless are taking no chances. They're prepared to survive no matter what happens. NBC's Ann Thompson tonight on the Stocking Up and Lying Low.
Tonight, the countdown begins. Outside Seattle, Erin Scott Ashley loading her car, counting up her supplies.
It's just to be prepared, that's all, just in case.
All day, store director Rick Smith watched consumers get Y2K ready.
Batteries sell extremely well, the lamp oil, generators, flashlights, those type of items, anything that a person would probably want to use during a power outage.
It's the same in many parts of the country, at this Home Depot in Atlanta.
Flashlights.
A Dallas military surplus store.
Do you have like granola bars, those sort of things?
No.
And at a Chicago water company, a steady stream of customers.
I have 2 gallons at home, but I come pick up 3 more just in case.
This is usually a slow time for Hinckley Springs, but not this year. Their retail business doubled, and delivery to homes and offices up 30%.
We've seen them not only order the 5 gallon size bottles, but also the 1 gallon size.
But so far, no apparent run on money. Cash Station, the Midwest's largest ATM network, reports volume down, but the average transaction amount up.
We expect this to be a weekend just like January 31st instead of December 31st.
Even so, federal officials today urging Americans to have supplies on hand, ready to be self-sufficient in case there is an unexpected problem.
People need to do and take whatever precautions they feel are important for them to feel comfortable.
Tonight, by one estimate, 70% of Americans buying emergency supplies to welcome the new year. Ann Thompson, NBC News, Chicago.
Okay, so that was kind of an interesting little view, and we'll play another clip in a few minutes. I want to talk a little bit about what happened, but a little view into what people's mindsets were at that time. I know me as, you know, like I said, as a young guy, and I'm sure you were a kid. We were all excited.
I was 11.
You were 11. Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. We were all excited about it being a new millennium. We thought it was kind of cool to talk about it at school. You know, we were really excited. I think our parents and anybody who was older than us, anybody who, you know, was on their own, there was kind of this mix of, okay, we're excited. It's going to be 2000 and it's kind of cool, but wicked apprehension. And a lot of people were scared. And you can hear that in listening to people talk and that news report, you know, they're, oh, well, I'm going to stock up just in case. But you can tell, like, in the tone of their voice, like, they didn't really know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of doubt.
A lot of doubt, yeah. So let's quickly talk about what exactly, why people were nervous. So the year 2000 problem, also known as the Millennium Bug or the Y2K bug, was a problem for both digital and non-digital documentation and data storage. But primarily, we're talking computers. And, you know, it's hard to think about, you know, everything's computerized now. Well, it still was back then. I mean, late 90s, early 2000s, everything was computerized at that point. All your cash registers in stores, all the financial, all banks were already computerized at that point.
Power grids.
Your ATM machines, multiple parts of our power grids, all the computers that control the power grid. You know, anything that really was of any importance is, at that point, is, you're talking late 90s, is already computerized. And so the fear was, and this is something that we knew about for a while, I actually went back to, like, I would say probably the mid-80s. I actually think that one of the articles that you grabbed, Amy, for research mentioned, I think, 1984 was the first time it was actually printed in a book. But basically, they realized really quickly that we have an issue here, because back then, it's not like computers now. Computers now, we have tons of memory, you know, it's, I'd say, even a computer having a gig of RAM in terms of memory in that computer is a small amount. Okay. We're talking, this is 1999. Okay. We're talking computers had megabytes of RAM and not very many. And the, problem was, even though our Windows computers would have been fine, it would never have been affected by this Y2K bug. All of your, like, mainframe computers, which, and we still actually have this problem now, a lot of major infrastructure systems in this country, and then if you're from another part of the world, we're talking about the U.S. primarily here. A lot of our infrastructure was run, and still is, which is kind of scary to think about, by these really old mainframe computers. You had computers computers from the 60s or 70s. In 1999, they were still running, like, major parts of our power grid and stuff, because these computers were, $1 million to buy. At this point, still hundreds of thousands of dollars to replace. And so, you know, we had older technology running our infrastructure. And what they realized really quickly was there was a problem, because these old computers didn't have a lot of memory. And so in the code, you know, we're talking 1960 when the first real computers really were starting to be used by industry. They're like, hey, you know, it's 1960. We got 40 years before the clock turns over. Instead of worrying about having a four-digit year code in there, let's just do two. Because if it says, if the computer says 60, we'll know it's 1960. If it says 61, we'll know it's 1961. If it's 78, we'll know it's 1978. What happens when you don't update your computers, like people thought was going to happen, and you wait to do it, is that the way that that's coded, all of a sudden, because we're doing a two-digit year, remember, 1900 and 2000 are both 00.
But what I don't understand, and you're gonna, and people are going to be like, okay, Amy, you're stupid. What I never understood is, like, how... So what would happen is, like, the computer would just erase the memory... Is that what the fear was? What was the fear?
No, the fear was all systems went back to 1900.
But there was no computers in 1900.
There wasn't.
So how would a computer know what it was like in 1900?
Correct, there isn't. But here's the thing. Your calendars are different. Okay, there's different days fall on different times in the calendar. It would screw up everything. It would cause massive issues, because you talk about, you have old infrastructure, you have new, and you have computers that these old computers are running newer software based on that calendar date being the right date. So all of a sudden, if you go to 1900.
So it'll think that, okay.
It thinks it's 1900, it screws everything up.
Gotcha.
And a lot of our computers that were controlling things in the financial sector at that point were doing algorithms based on what the date is. And if all of a sudden it's 1900, you know, January 1st, 1900 is, you know, the dates don't line up. Things are really screwed up. And so this is going to cause, or so they thought, with the display of dates. And here's the other thing too. A lot of these systems were automated, where they would automatically do things on certain days, and it was set up based on the day of the, you know, what day it is. And if all of a sudden the time went from 1900 to 1900, and it didn't line up, some of these automated processes that were in place would stop working because the date was wrong.
It was funny because, like I said, I was 11. Like, I think I had just turned 11.
Right.
And honestly, I was kind of a dumb kid. So, like, I honestly, like, I thought that because everybody was like, oh, the computers are going to think it's the year 1900. I thought we were going to have to, like, go back to, like, horse and buggy. Like, I literally thought that people were going to think that it was the year 1900. Like, I did not understand at all. I was like, what is going on? Why does everybody think it's going to be the year 1900?
Now,
but, like,
let me play devil's advocate a little bit, though, too, okay?
Then there's me, who's a dumb kid.
Back then, at that time, you know, and my dad, you know, I think you asked at the beginning of the episode, did your dad stock up on food and supplies? And we did. We went to Costco and bought the big bag of rice. And we had all the cans of, like, green beans. We had a whole, like, this whole storage area of, you know, supplies. We actually had some of the military MREs, like the military ration meals, which
me
I still like.
Those are really good.
Some of them are good. I used to eat them in Scouts. We were camping and stuff. But here's devil's advocate, okay? My dad still does. He works for IBM. And in about, I should have called him and asked him before he did this episode, but I think like 96 or 97, they said, hey, we got this Y2K problem. Some of our computers here are so old, you know, we need to fix stuff. And so he was involved with, at least locally where he works, with a team that went around and they fixed everything. Everything was fixed way ahead of time. They were ready to go. Everything was updated. They had programmers that worked for IBM. They had everything fixed. Everything was ready to go way ahead of time. The government even said, hey, you know, we're okay. You know, you're listening to that news story that we had just played. And they're saying the government said, oh, we're all set. Nothing bad's going to happen. And we'll get into in a minute what actually happened when the clock changed to 2000. But all these people were telling you that we're all set. Like, they recognized the problem, and it was a problem, but they fixed the problem. So why do I think this whole Y2K thing was pushed? Is I think it was pushed because of this. I think companies that were stood to make money from the sale of certain products pushed this fear onto the public, because then they would stock up and buy supplies.
Yeah.
In fact, $300 million in the US alone were spent on people just buying extra supplies preparing for it. Okay,
freaking.
That's just extra supply. That's not
the,
you know, I'm sure there was millions of dollars and probably billions of dollars that were spent fixing it, so that would never actually happen.
Sorry about my coughing.
That's all right. We'll leave it in. $300 million is the estimate that the people spent on Oh, I just hit the mic. That's all right. I didn't make a noise. We're doing really good. It's still wine. We're leaving it in. It's still wine. We're getting ready for New Year's. We're drinking wine. It's okay.
My wine is all gone. I should go refill it.
No, hold on. We're in the middle of the podcast. So $300 million on extra supplies, which is a lot. So I think that was probably, I mean, yes, it was an issue, but I think that was probably driven by people wanting to make money. But, you know, for people that weren't around that time, it was a weird, I can't think of another time in history, at least since I've been alive, and I've only been on this earth for 28 years, but I can't think of another time where people were like, it was this weird mixture of like, we're excited, but we're also freaked out. We're really apprehensive of what's going to happen. People said, oh, the world's going to end. Stuff's going to blow up
in
2000.
You had, like, the extreme people who were building, like, bunkers underground. And, like, those were, like, the extreme people.
Well, according to your article you found here, that family in Ohio took it to such an extreme they bought gas power generators and a year's worth of dry food in a bunker.
Because
they thought the end was near. And we still get people that are those doomsdayers. There was a TV show about it that do that, but it was really prevalent here.
I want to build one just a place where I can go and hang out.
So the concern people had was specifically about banks, traffic lights, power grid, and airports were the big concerns. They figured if the banks went down, you wouldn't be able to buy food. If there's no power, registers wouldn't work. And nobody would be able to buy food. There'd be looting and stuff, and people would be stealing stuff. And so make sure you stock up to have your supplies just in case so you can avoid that whole situation. And the thought was people were going to, like, kind of bunker down in their house and kind of ride it out till it was over. And so, I don't know.
It's so weird to think about.
It's a really weird time for you know, real weird thing to think about, and a really weird time in our history in this country. That's for sure. So, let's play that other clip from the news we wanted to play, and then we'll talk about what actually happened.
Okay.
Which is a little bit different than what people predicted.
Okay.
Put a little away, but don't go nuts.
Yvonne and Chester Rich are getting ready for Y2K.
A lot of crackers. And stuff for the cats.
Salmon. We have a gas stove so I can cook. If I have water, we're going to stack up on a little water.
Water is at the top of the list that the Texas Department of Emergency Management recommends you keep on hand. Most items can be gathered at your local grocery store. Such items as non-perishable food, a manual can opener, personal hygiene items such as shampoo, soap, deodorant, and a toothbrush, eyeglasses, a first aid kit, and prescription medications are also on the list.
We have had a couple of people ask about it, but really, no, for the most part, we haven't.
They're making too much out of it. It's not going to be anything. It's just another day. Of course, I may be wrong.
But just in case, stores like Albertsons are ordering extra. They even have a Y2K order list.
We're asking, you know, what are they buying these things for, and they're basically saying they're trying to get prepared.
Much as they are at local hardware stores, where the biggest sellers are ammunition, gun safes, kerosene lamps, and water jugs. But if you're looking for a generator, forget it. There are none.
I don't think anybody is really worried about anything happening, but they are wanting to be prepared.
I'm Dave Johnson for Team 4 News.
Okay, so you're going to put some of the other stuff in the show notes, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of commercials and a couple of other news clips that are, like, really telling people how to prepare and, like, how much water you should store. It's actually really cool to look back and watch all that stuff. So I'm going to put that in the show notes, and that's going to be Generation Y Podcast.
Excuse me.
.weebly.com/episode3, and that would be the number 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do it up.
So should we talk about what actually indeed happened now?
Sure. Go for it.
All right. So in
issue, I got some more wine, by the way.
You did.
So if you hear me giggling, I'm sorry.
In Ishikawa, Japan, radiation monitoring equipment failed at midnight. It's supposed to be at a nuclear power plant. However, officials stated there was no risk to the public. In what's all the Japan stuff?
I don't know.
In Onagawa, if I butcher that, I'm sorry. In Onagawa, Japan, an alarm sounded at a nuclear power plant at 2 minutes after midnight. Again, nothing really happened. In Japan, somewhere else, at 2 minutes past midnight, Osaka Media Port, which is a telecommunications company, found errors in their data management part of the company's network, and the problem was fixed by 2:43 a.m., and no services were disrupted. That one, somebody must have gotten fired for that. I mean, like I said, my dad worked at IBM, and like a year ahead of time, they were ready. Mm-hmm. How do you like not realize there's something wrong until the morning of.
And this isn't all of, there's a whole list of everything that happened, and it's really minor things like this, but again, I'll put it on the show notes if you're really interested in everything.
So did you pick some of these out of there?
Yeah, I just picked a few random ones.
So it says in Japan, a mobile communication network, NTT, which is Japan's largest cell provider, reported on the 1st of January 2000 that some models of telephones were deleting new messages received rather than old messages as the memory filled up, which makes sense, because if you have the Y2K bug, it would look like it's a message from 1900, and it would delete the older ones
first.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. No, that does make sense. You're right.
In the United States, 150 slot machines. Oh, no. What about all the gamblers? Erase tracks in Delaware stopped working. The U.S. Naval Observatory, which runs the master clock that keeps the country's official time, gave the date on its website as 1 January 1900. That's strange. In France, the National Weather Forecasting Service, Meteo France, which is like the basically like the weather channel around here, said a Y2K bug made the date on their website show a map with Saturday's forecast as 01/01/1900. Of course, again, it's also occurred on other websites such as AT&T.net, and which is AT&T's website. And, you know, I remember at that time a lot of websites I kind of got a giggle out of. I remember it was 1 a.m. and I was still up and we went online and a bunch of websites were screwed up for, you know, a couple of hours. It wasn't really anything earth shattering and there wasn't riots in the streets and the food supply didn't end and traffic lights didn't go haywire causing, which I don't get that one. Because traffic lights, if I'm not mistaken, they're either one of two types. They're either a sensor in the ground, if a car rolls up to it, it starts that process. Or they're just on a timer. It doesn't give a crap what the date is. It's like on like a 30-second timer.
Can you explain the whole alarm clock and microwave thing to me? Because if you have an alarm clock that you manually set the time, that's not... Or even like a solar alarm clock.
Okay, right.
How is the Y2K going to screw up your alarm clock? It's not...
I don't know how it would. I think it's just a... People were freaked about everything, so they start thinking of what things could we possibly...
Because in this news thing that I found, the lady is like, imagine waking up on... year 2000 in the morning and you're late for your appointment because your alarm clock didn't go off. And then you go to make some breakfast and your microwave doesn't work.
That'd be the worst thing ever. You can not wake me up, but don't screw with my food. I'd be really upset.
She was cooking bacon in the microwave, which is kind of gross. Mm. Sorry to anybody that cooks bacon in their microwave. Unless you have that bacon crisper thing.
Yeah, the thing I have.
What is that called? I don't even know.
I don't remember.
But I got Josh the bacon bowl.
You did, the bacon bowl. I'm very excited to try it.
Oh, hello, 90s flashback. I got Josh.
Oh my gosh.
A case.
Yes. What? Okay, hold on. Let me. So.
We get sidetracked.
So I get this box for Christmas from Amy, and I go, oh, what is this? And I open it up, and there is freaking 12 cans of Surge in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I opened up one, and so for all the 90s, you know, everybody listens, they love the 90s. I opened up one, and I take a drink of it, and I swear to God, I like instantly had like a hat on, and I had some like semi-baggy jeans, even though my parents didn't really let me wear them back then. But I had the jeans with like the like
parachute
the...
pants.
No, I didn't wear parachute ace. Pants. What are you talking about? No, seriously, I thought I was like sitting in front of like my PS1, drinking Surge, listening to Everclear, wearing my baggy pants. Like it was like
this is really dramatic.
It was like I was transported back to the 90s.
Didn't you say that you felt like you could thrust towards a mountain and have it explode?
Sure. It was amazing. It was like I was transported right back to the 90s, and it tastes just like you remember it tasting. It's amazing.
And it also looks like nuclear waste.
It does. It's a bright, like, toxic nuclear green colored. It's amazing. All right, so enough about Surge, even though it was amazing. And so, one more thing about Surge. Hold on. Not enough. Let me say this. Can you put a link to the link on the show notes? Put a link to Amazon
where they can get it? Surge?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's, they're not, you know, when I drank it as a kid, it was in the 20-ounce bottles, or the 12-ounce cans. These are actually 16-ounce, so they're tall boys cans.
And they have a lot of calories.
You get 12 of them. You get 12 cans, and it's, what, $14? What was the shipping?
I don't remember.
But it was like 20 bucks.
Total was like $24.
And yes, is that expensive for soda? Yes, it is.
But it's Surge.
But you will not regret this decision.
Wasn't there this guy that you said that drank like a whole 12-pack? In one night or something?
No, he tried to. I don't know if I have the link. That's what you put in the show notes. But a guy online, just Google 12 surges in 12 hours. And this guy tried to drink all 12 in 12 hours and got to like 6 and got really, really sick and ill.
Yeah.
Because you can't drink that much soda. But yeah. Surge is amazing. So, back to Y2K.
What were we talking about before?
I don't know. I got totally distracted by you.
Oh, the what actually happened? Like, yeah. What failed?
So, I mean, I remember, like I said, I remember sitting there and then looking at some different websites and kind of giggling about it because it was funny that websites were screwing up, but it really didn't do anything. And I think, like I said, I think that we kind of all knew that it wasn't going to do much of anything anyway. I think that it was more of a kind of fears were kind of stoked by these companies that were, you know, could gain profit from this. So,
yeah.
And I'm sure Home Depot and was Lowe's around back then. They must have been. I'm sure they loved the sales of generators and things that they got from this happening.
All the ammunition stocking up. I bet your dad was one of the ones that stocked up on ammunition.
No.
No? Really? No. Well, okay, so
our family's always been hunters and stuff, but no.
If I remember correctly,
it was the big bag of rice from Costco.
My grandmother and my mother, and it was, of course, my dad was there in the background, like, kind of like rolling his eyes. Like, my dad didn't think anything was going to happen. And my grandmother and my mother, like, I remember upstairs we had this room, and they stocked up on, like, canned food, batteries and flashlights, and bottled water. And, like, for 6 months prior to the new year, my grandmother, I would just hear her talking about, we need to prepare for this Y2K. She's like, we're really preparing, we're all gonna go back to 1900 or something. I'm just like, okay, seriously? I didn't think. And I mean, I was 11, so I didn't really know much about computers, but I still didn't really think much was going to happen. I was like, people are smart enough to kind of fix. I feel like they would be able to fix it. But.
And they did, for the most part.
Yeah.
We were pretty prepared. It wasn't like something that snuck up on us.
No.
Can we... quick detour. So, Amy has just recently, in the last, probably, 10 minutes, you tweeted out a tweet that says, what better way to record a podcast than with wine? The picture was there a picture of us drinking our wine recording?
Yeah.
We've been favorited by Wine Marketing. And let's see who else. Hold on.
I think this wine.
New Zealand Wine USA also favorited the tweet.
Woo! Hello. Hey guys, shout out.
Wow.
They like us because we're drinking wine.
People are going to like look back at this podcast. Hey, it's New Year's Eve.
I posted on Instagram and I've already gotten like 30 likes on it.
It's New Year's Eve. We're allowed to drink wine while we're doing our podcast.
If you guys haven't followed us on social media, do it.
Yep.
We post stuff all the time.
Twitter is what?
I don't even know. Is it bad? I should look. Hold on. 3, 2, 1. Gen Y Podcast is Twitter.
Why are you counting down?
Because I had 2 glasses of wine, and I felt the need to count down.
And we're on Instagram. We're on Facebook.
Instagram is Generation Y Podcast, and it's kind of cool if you follow us on Instagram especially, because I'm always posting pictures of, like,
90 stuff
that you are like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about, like, that. Like, this one thing that I just posted, and Josh doesn't remember this.
Oh, the cartoon?
It was a short cartoon called Ambie and Dexter.
I don't remember that
at all. And if you don't remember it, go to YouTube.
Oh, it was Nick Jr., right? It was on Nick Jr. in between the shows.
I believe so.
See, so when was that on? I may have been too old to watch Nick Jr. at that point.
You might have. You were a couple years older than me. But I still watched Nick Jr. when I was, like, homesick from school. When I was, like, 10. But, no.
Gullah Gullah Island.
Love Gullah Gullah Island. But no, Ambie and Dexter. We should do a Gullah Island
episode.
We should. Shh, quiet. Ambie and Dexter. Yeah, it was just a little short cartoon, and the one that I remember is when they were wrapping the paper with the tape, and I loved, like, the crinkly sounds of the wrapping paper and the tape. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to YouTube and just search Ambie and Dexter.
Yeah, it's A-M-B-I, or is it Y?
It is A-M-B-Y.
Okay, because it's...
And Dexter.
Apparently, the cartoon, I did some reading about it. It was because they're two hands that turn into little people.
They turn into little people.
Ambie and Dexter. If you put ambidextrous, it's
and if two you're hands. Like, and if you're like, I don't remember at all what she's talking about. If you watched Nick Jr. in, like, you know, 99, 2000, 2001, you will remember. If you don't remember right now, just go on YouTube it. You'll remember.
Cool. So, do you want to get back on topic here?
Yes, we're like and wrap worst, this up. Like,
that's all right.
Sidetracked.
We are very entertaining, so.
People.
So we talked about what actually happened.
We should drink for every podcast.
No, we shouldn't. We talk about what actually happened during Y2K. So let's for a minute talk about how people celebrated it. I think most of us, and we had that clip at the beginning, I think most of us probably sat at home and watched Mr. Dick Clark ring in the new year on, was it ABC?
Yes.
But in London, this is something I remember from Y2K, in London, England, they had what was called the Millennium Wheel, which is now known as the London Eye. And so it's this giant Ferris wheel. It looks kind of like a giant, like, bicycle wheel. Like, it has the spokes like a bike. And this thing is 443 feet tall. And at the time, it was the world's tallest Ferris wheel. It's now been actually beat by, there's one in Las Vegas that's 550 feet tall.
I will never in my life that'd be amazing. Get on that
That'd
thing.
Be amazing.
No.
So, 443 feet tall. At the time, it set the record for world's longest, or world's tallest Ferris wheel, rather. But here's the funny thing. It was called the Millennium Wheel. It was built to celebrate the millennium. And it was supposed to open on December 31st, 1999. But what actually happened was it actually...
Did the Y2K ruin it?
Huh?
Did the Y2K, like, make it short out?
No, it actually never opened on time. They had some technical problems with it, and they didn't...
From the Y2K?
No, it wasn't because of the Y2K.
Aw, come on.
They didn't feel comfortable opening it on the 31st of 1999, December 31st, 1999. So they actually... Prime Minister Tony Blair, at the time, you know, the head of the government in the UK, he opened it up anyway, and they did it on the 31st of December 1999. They had a bunch of lights on it, I remember, lit up real pretty looking, different colored lights, and it was a big deal. But they ran it without any passengers on it because it was a big fail and they couldn't get passengers to... They didn't think they could do it safely with the passengers. So it did officially open on the 31st of December, 1999, but it went around and around without any passengers. And in February 2000 was the first passengers, and in March of 2000 it actually opened to the general public. And so this thing cost $70 million... pounds to build, and it's a huge, really cool Ferris wheel. It's a big tourist attraction, and June 2008, so I'm sure the number is way higher now, but I couldn't find a more recent number. 30 million people had ridden on it since it opened. So, but this was built. This was built for the millennium, for Y2K. That was built with the idea of having this thing in place for December 31st, 1999. So, kind of cool. See, what else? You want to go over our few little facts here about what was going on at the time there?
Yes. So, I just kind of thought it would be fun to kind of, like, give a quick flashback up to, like, kind of what was popular in the year 2000, especially, like, in January. So, January 1st, the number one song was Smooth by Santana featuring Rob Thomas.
So, let's just play a quick clip of that.
Okay.
So I actually have this album. I bought it. This song was played so freaking much.
Oh, it was.
That I love the song when it came out.
I can't listen to it anymore.
I really can't. I skip over it. I skip over it.
But
it's a good song, though.
It is, but it's just very played out.
But so January 1st, 2000. So just to put in perspective, so you stay up late, watch TV, nothing happens. You wake up next morning, your microwave still works. You turn on the radio, and that song's probably playing.
Probably.
Yep.
Okay, so most popular TV shows, and this was really... This is, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The first five...
Four.
Just kidding. Four TV shows. There was a whole bunch of TV shows that were listed, but I just did the first four. But you have Gilmore Girls, CSI, Malcolm in the Middle, and Survivor.
I watched none of those. Not a single one.
Hold on. My dad watched CSI. I didn't watch any of the other ones either. I didn't ever like...
I thought you watched Gilmore Girls.
I did not... Okay. Don't hate, everybody. I did not like the Gilmore Girls.
I thought your mom was saying that you watched it.
No. Never. I never watched it. I thought that the acting was very bad. I just could never get into it.
Hmm.
And everybody was like, oh my gosh, Gilmore Girls. And I wanted to like that show so bad.
It was on the CW, right?
I don't remember. But I tried to watch it, and I really, really tried because I wanted to like it because all my friends liked it. And, like, it just the acting was bad.
Can I intercede for a minute?
Yes, you may.
But you watched Degrassi.
Okay.
Which has some of the worst acting of all time in a TV show.
Well, I think it's because Degrassi is like, there's a trauma every episode.
Oh, it's like watching like a teenage soap opera.
So you're like, oh my gosh, I want to know what trauma is going
to
happen
now. We need to do a Degrassi episode sometime.
We're going to do a Degrassi episode. All right. But no, I know Degrassi's acting is awful too.
But you like that.
But you like the drama because it's like a crisis.
Survivor, my parents watched a lot. I'd never. Because me being, you know, somebody who's an Eagle Scout and somebody who's Native American, that's my background. My family's Native American. Somebody who actually knows about surviving. I'm like, this show is a bunch of crap. Survivor, man. No, I watched that. You know, the dude actually was out surviving, but. Survivor's just like this big excuse to. It's a reality show. It's like Big Brother, Real World, any of those. And
My dad watched CSI. Malcolm in the Middle. I never watched Malcolm in the Middle.
It's funny. I probably should watch more of it. I haven't watched much of it.
Yeah, I haven't.
I've seen like one or two episodes, and it was funny. I laughed.
Really?
But it was, yeah, oh,
we
it was
should
okay.
watch it just to see. But yeah, so year 2000.
Yeah.
Y2K. How did you guys prepare?
That's what I was gonna say. You read my thoughts. So what we want to do, we're going to wrap this episode, actually be a kind of a short one, but that's all right, because everybody's getting ready to celebrate New Year's in 2015, coming up pretty soon here.
Drink some more wine.
If you guys have any memories of how you spent December 31st, 1999, and how you ringed in the new year and the new millennium and the new century, by the way, new year, new millennium, and new century, and how you spent Y2K or how your family might have prepared for Y2K... Please write us an email, and the email is?
GenerationYPodcast@gmail.com, and you can also, you know...
Yeah, Twitter, we already talked about that, Facebook,
Instagram.
So, or even, you know, if you found us through Podomatic, which is where we host the podcast, you can comment on that. You know, there's multiple ways you can get to us, but we'd love to hear your stories of how you prepared for Y2K, and if we get any really good ones...
We'll share it.
We'll read them next week.
We'll give you a shout-out.
So next week we're going to do... Are we doing Clueless?
Oh, I don't know.
We talked about it.
I really want to do a Spice Girls episode just because it's near and dear to my heart.
Let's do Clueless because we promised it, and then and then next month maybe we can do Spice Girls episode.
Spice Girls. Yeah. If you guys want to hear anything too, we'll do an episode that you want to hear.
Yeah. And we have Snick upcoming too at some point.
Oh, you know what? Hold on, I just got a message from my
breaking
mother.
Breaking news!
Breaking news! I asked my mom. I was like, "Hurry! What did you do to prepare for the Y2K?" Because I didn't ask her because I was dumb. I didn't ask her. She goes, "I bought tons of canned goods." Sterno.
Oh, Sterno. That's a good move.
Tons of bottled water, extra medicine, blanket, bought a propane heater that doesn't need electricity. So that's what
my mom
did.
Your mom was more prepared than my dad was. Of course, we had like all the camping equipment from Scouts, so we had propane stoves and lanterns. Oh, yeah. Yeah, plus we're Native American. We can go track animals, and we have guns so we can hunt. And if you're an animal lover, I'm really sorry.
Make your own weapon.
We're animal lovers, too. I just happen to eat meat a little bit once in a while.
Meat.
We love animals. We have doggies. We have three of them.
Yeah, we don't eat them.
We have a fish. No, we don't. We don't eat them.
Okay, I'm done with the wine now.
Are you?
Take it away.
But we weren't, you know, like I said, I wasn't really worried, you know, going into it. I knew everything was going to be okay, but it was certainly an interesting time to watch everybody else freak out. I actually remember, here's a real quick story before we close up the podcast for the week. My lord, she's dropping things.
Dropping everything.
I remember walking into a supermarket and...
Hold on, I just got another message from my mother.
What'd she say?
She goes, oh, plus I got $1,000 in dollar bills.
Why in dollar bills? Why wouldn't you get like 20s or something?
Probably because she was afraid nobody could break a 20 because people are dumb and can't do math.
That had been a huge stack of money, $1,000 in dollar bills. It's like Dr. Evil there, like swimming in her dollar bills.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
So anyway, I remember walking into supermarket at the time. I think it was probably Grand Union still around then?
Yeah.
In the northeast of the United States. It was either that or it was Hannaford's. And walking in and buying some supplies with my dad, and like all of the bottled water, like that whole aisle, the shelves are just bare empty, gone. Like no bottled water, no crackers, you know, no rice, anything that was like dry. All the canned vegetables and stuff were gone. It was insane. Like I remember tons of people buying stuff, and it was just like everybody showed up. Had, you know, two or three shopping carts filled full of stuff, and it was just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of anything like that. I think the only close equivalent would be if if we when we don't living hurricane. In living in the northeastern United States, we don't. But if we lived, yeah, like somewhere where there was a hurricane coming, that's what I have to imagine a close equivalent would be to that. Would be.
I went hurricane. To Google Images and just kind of Googled Y2K preparation, and all of these pictures are just pictures of car like. Grocery stores totally crowded and like empty shelves
and stuff. Crazy. Yeah,
like it kind of reminded me of when we had the Hurricane Irene up in Vermont and the stores were all cleared.
See, I wasn't here. I was a different part of Vermont when that happened.
Yeah, there was nothing. Well, in up north where you live,
they knew it wasn't going to hit as bad. It really wasn't that big of a deal.
Oh, because we went shopping up north in Williston, and that is where the Walmart is.
I stayed near where I was living at the time. I wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. It's an interesting time. So, like I said, if you have any stories, any thoughts about it, please write in and let us know.
My mom's still messaging me.
And
she did. I'm kidding. Updates by the second.
So we're gonna get done, and because Amy's drank too much wine.
She said she got extra prescription refills.
That's true. It's a good idea. Never know. And we'll be back next week with, we're going to do Clueless. So we decided that's what we're going to do.
Yes, Clueless.
Okay. Clueless. So Amy's going to make me actually sit through this movie and watch it.
Woo!
And then we'll talk about it next week.
Such a good movie.
All right. Anything else to add?
No.
All right, say bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year. Have a good night.